It comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than it was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away from the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Lord, we come to you and we read your word, and we recognize the scripture that we look at today is talking directly about your word, what you have to say us, and how we receive it. Our God, unfortunately, sometimes how we do not receive it. Help our hearts to be open, our minds to be clear, and to receive, but also to be willing to give to you fully of ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we begin a series today, I'm going to be looking for several weeks at some of the basics of the Christian faith. For those of you who may not know or may not remember, we also are beginning a Woodland 101 class today. And I'm looking around. I know several of you that are in here are planning to be a part of that. And that's an opportunity for those who may not be as familiar with the ins and outs and what goes on at Woodland and how we strive to be who God's called us to be. We talk about that and what the intentionality is about our vision and kind of how things work. And we want to be clear and invite everybody to be a part of that. So that happens. And as a part of that, we want to communicate with people about just the basics of our faith. And some of that includes Bible, looking at the Bible and how we receive the Bible, prayer, fellowship, giving, what it means to give of ourselves. And so that's some of what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And then the last Sunday, I want to point this out, and this is a part of worship as well. If you look in your bulletins on the bottom at the back, I really want you to be a part of not only knowing this, but help to share it. October 30th, which is the last Sunday of this month, will be another fifth Sunday. It'll be the second one we've had. The one we had last time was just well-received, a great experience for everyone, and we want to continue that. If you see there, we'll have one worship service at 9:30. So the last Sunday of this month, we won't have an 8:30 service. We won't have an 11 o'clock service. We'll have one 9:30 service for everyone. And following that, we're going to have things like hay rides, and we're going to be setting up for Trick or Trunk, which is going to happen that afternoon. But after that setup and before Trick or Trunk starts, we're going to have a barbecue lunch and be spending that time together. So it's an exciting time for us. And we've decided to make Fifth Sundays something that we do regularly here like that, because it's a way that we focus on fellowship and on a coming together and sharing. And it's a part of what the Bible tells us to do. And sometimes we can just get so caught up in doing the stuff at church that we forget to be the church. And so that's what this one Sunday is really about. So I hope you'll plan on being here, but encourage others and let them know of the change in schedule and all as well for that. But today we want to look particularly at the Bible and what it has to say. And as I think about the Bible and thinking about people that are here, there's, I think, two different ways, and I'm sure there's more than two, but two different ways that I anticipate you could think about the Bible. One, maybe for you the Bible is intimidating. Maybe for you, you know what the Bible is, and you see this big book, and sometimes it's hard to read and understand, and so it's just intimidating. You know it's a part of faith, you know it's a special book, you revere it, but it's just, it's difficult to make it a part of your life in the way that you hear people or maybe preachers or churches suggesting that you should. And so today I want to address that. But I think there may be some others of us that we've grown up in the church, we've had a Bible all our life, it's been a part of what we've done, we've memorized scripture maybe, we know a lot of the Bible stories, we know practically all the Bible answers because we've been in Sunday school and teachers have taught us that. But do you know that you can know all of that and still take the Bible for granted? And I think that regardless of where we are in our Christian walk, the message that God has for us today, the scripture that we see today, is relevant to each one of us. And I think as you remember the scripture, now I think it's easy to remember because it's a story, it's a parable about the seeds. And what did the seeds represent? The farmer was going out throwing seeds, and the seeds, different things happened. But what did the scripture say the seeds themselves represented? Does anyone remember? The Word of God. And the Word of God can come in different ways, but one specific direct way that it comes is through scripture. So today, that's what we want to think about. So I want you today, and you aren't going to have to answer this to me, but I think that we need to have a conversation, an honest conversation about it with God today. How are we receiving the Word of God? Is it more like that Word that's been thrown on the rocky soil, and even though you hear it and know about it, it never takes root, it never makes a difference? Or is it more like that ends up among the weeds and gets choked out when things get hard and it's not really paid attention to? Or is it the good soil? Do you really receive the Word and it make a difference in your life? God's speaking to us today. So I invite us to hear. So as I begin, the first thing I want to talk about is hearing God's Word. What does it take to hear God's Word? I think we need to be eager about hearing. It's something that should excite us. It's something that we should look forward to and anticipate more than just seeing it's a book to read. How many of you, all right, how many of you are in school? Raise your hand if you're in school. College counts. Price. All right, he's got his hand up. All right. How many of you get just amazingly excited about reading your books at school and doing a report on it? No hands going up. Okay. Oh, you do? I think that was satire. But we sometimes, because the Bible is put in the same format as some other books we're used to, our minds begin to think of the Bible that way as just another book, but it's not. Let me ask you another question. Y'all may not want to raise your hand for this one, but how many of you have ever received a love letter? Nobody in this whole church has ever gotten a love letter. All right. Oh, Jesse says a whole bunch. The beautiful Jesse, he gets a whole bunch. I'm guessing that most of you have received, even if it wasn't a love letter, maybe nowadays it's a love email, I don't know, a love text. But my point is, whatever it is, my guess is you get a little bit excited about it. And my guess is you may even go back and read it more than once. And it's possible that it affects the rest of your day. That's the type of thing that the Bible is supposed to do. It's a love letter. It's different than maybe the romantic love letters that you're used to, but that love letter means so much because it's connected to a person who means a lot to you. And so that has meaning to you, and it stirs you and makes a difference in who you are. the same should be true in Scripture, because this isn't just a Bible about a bunch of old stories that happened thousands of years ago. This is the Word of God. And it refers to Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he died on a cross for us, and it helps us. It's the living Word of God. Yes, it originated thousands of years ago, but because it's a living Word of God, it applies today just as much as any love letter you can receive. It's that relevant. It's that meaningful. It can help that much in determining direction that God desires for your life. And God loves you more than anyone else on the face of the earth. And he wants you to succeed. He wants you to have strength. He wants you to have peace. And this helps you to understand that. So as you approach the Bible, we should be eager. And if we are, that makes a difference in the way we're able to receive it because of the way we approach it. So I want you to think about that. Don't answer to me. It's not me that you need to answer to, but God has given us this. How do you approach the Bible? How often do you pick it up? When you do pick it up, how do you use it? Have you really thought about it? It's one of the ways God is trying to communicate with you. Secondly, hearing God's Word, ask a question: why can't we hear? Why can't I hear? Is the second question that I've got here. And I've got three blanks there. And if you want to, you can keep notes and write that in. But let me just put something there for you to think about and realize where I'm going with this. But the first one is, I think sometimes we can't hear because we have a closed mind. And we can have a closed mind because of fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of things in our life. Some people are actually fearful of God because of their view of God. And our minds can be closed in that way. But sometimes we're closed-minded because of our pride. We're the ones that have to be in control. We're the ones that have to make decisions. So, yeah, we can read the Scripture, but it doesn't really make the difference that God desires it to make. And then there's another one. Sometimes there's just bitterness. We may not think we're bitter towards God. It may just be the bitterness of life. It may be situations we've been dealt with. It may be people and the way that they've treated us. But that bitterness gets inside of us, and it keeps us from being able to see and understand who God is and what God desires to be at that moment in our life. Yes, and you say, but Greg, I know who God is. It says in Scripture, yes, it does. But do you remember what happened with the seeds? The seeds go down, and some are on the rocky soil, some are among the weeds, and some get into the fertile land. All the seeds are there, and we know it. But whether it's bitterness or pride or fear, they aren't allowed to make the difference in our life, the relevant difference now. We can say, yes, we see it. We know it's there. But it's not sinking in. God's Word is intended for that purpose. Secondly, well, first was the closed mind. We can have a closed mind that can keep us from hearing. Second, it can be a superficial mind. Do you really want to hear God anyway? We're closed-minded because we just don't want to hear God. Superficial mind, we go through the pretenses. And again, that's surface. We can pretend. We can put up a good front. It makes sense, but we really aren't going to let God in. And you know what this is. You know what a superficial relationship is with another person. And my guess is you have some of those. And that's not necessarily bad. You can't have a deep relationship with everyone. But to have a superficial relationship and pretend it's some great, wonderful, deep relationship is somewhat of a farce. So do you have a superficial understanding of the Bible? Or do you have a deep relationship in terms of understanding God through the Bible that allows God to speak to you through His Word? So you understand how a superficial mind can keep us from hearing God's Word? We think we're hearing it because we can open it. We can come to church. But that's just like a superficial friendship. You can know the person. You know a few things about them, but it's not a real friendship. So we've had the closed mind, the superficial mind can both keep us from hearing. The last one, and this is the one Satan loves to use on us. because it's easy to justify. It's the preoccupied mind. We're busy doing other things, so we don't have time for this. May not even have time for the Scripture at all, but even if we do have time for the Scripture, we don't have time to spend with it because we have to go do stuff. And you know what? Sometimes that stuff that preoccupies us may very well seem like good stuff, good things to do. But is God leading you to do that? God does not call us to do every good thing. And Satan can take things that are not bad and distract us from what God wants us to be doing and use them for his purpose. Satan, most of the time today, doesn't come dressed in red carrying a pitchfork. Satan's only purpose is to distract us from what God desires in our lives. So if he can distract us with things that sound like good and can make us feel good and say, well, we're doing what we should be doing, we're being a good person. Being a good person doesn't always equate to being the person God calls us to be. So you understand how sometimes we don't hear the word of God because we have a preoccupied mind? Where has your mind been this week? Has it been at the place God wanted it to be? So, hearing God's word, be eager. Understand some of the reasons why we can't hear. And third, confession. And this, I want to go to look at another scripture. If you look at James chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to look at that real quick. James chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. I'll read it again. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Confession, and you've heard the saying, confession is good for the soul. Many places throughout the Bible, it talks about the benefit of confession. And there's scripture that also talks about us confessing to our brothers in terms of things that we're struggling with. And the reason we do that is because it helps provide accountability. But we don't go and pretend to do what the Scripture says it's going to do, understand what the Scripture says it's going to, but and not recognize the things in our lives that are not of God. There needs to be a process of confession. There needs to be a process of letting God know. God knows we've fallen short, but he needs for us to acknowledge it so we can grow beyond it. Confession is a big part of being able to hear God's word. When was the last time, in whatever way, whether it's through your prayer time, your daily devotional, having accountability with someone, when is the last time you really confessed your sins? And maybe none of y'all have sins. But if you do, when was the last time you actually confessed them? You can confess them verbally through prayer. You can confess them verbally by saying them out loud to God. You confess them by writing them down. But confession is a part of what helps us to hear Scripture, understand Scripture in a different way. The next thing in your bulletin there and on the screen says application, but I meant to put that last, so I'm going to skip that and come back to it. I want to go quickly, and this is somewhat a practical thing, but I talk about how to read the Bible. And some people struggle just knowing this when you're trying to get started. And it's a simple thing, but I've got translation and reading plan. As a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, Greg, what translation should I really use? It depends on the person. There are some very intellectual people, and I think for that, they can understand that there are aspects of Scripture, there's translations of the Scripture that seek to go back and provide the most exact interpretation of every word of the Bible. And for some people, that's really, really important. And I have a Bible like that, and when I'm preparing my sermons, I try to go and use that. And then there are some people that maybe it's the version that they grew up with and the understanding and the meaning there. The King James Version of the Bible is one of these. And it's a great version of the Bible. And there are times that that's where I want to go back to. There's meaning there that I get from that scripture that I don't get from other versions of the Bible. And then there's other versions of the Bible that people have provided and written that make it easier for a person who's reading maybe the King James Version or a different version that's on a higher reading level. It gets to be a struggle. So then there's a paraphrase or a different aspect of the Bible. And what you need to understand is that these are different. And it's good to compare and it's good to understand why they come from. And if there seems to be controversy, explore that. But everything I've looked at, nobody's ever written a different version of the Bible to try to deceive someone. It's to help us be able to have those opportunities. What I would discourage you from is saying, this is the version of the Bible my preacher uses, so it's the right version, and none of the rest of them measure up to it. And it's really the most important thing is asking God to speak to you through the scripture that you're using. If you want to know more about translations, I'm not going to include all of that in my sermon. I'd love to talk to you about it and talk about the differences in the different translations. I've explored that, be willing to share that with you. But the important thing is that you recognize what the differences are and why that's what you're choosing. And then ask God to be a part of helping you select what's best for you and do it with God's leadership and God's guidance. And if you're not sure, go to someone else that you revere and respect in terms of understanding that. But that leads us into another thing, a reading plan. So if you're going to read the Bible and it's important to you and you're just going to start reading, do you just start at Genesis and you start reading through and go all the way through the Bible? There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm guessing when you get to Leviticus, if you've never read Scripture before, you're gonna struggle. Leviticus is hard. And the number of people who thought they were going to read through the Bible and never made it past Leviticus are probably greater than the number who have read the Bible through. Because Leviticus is just challenging. So would it make sense maybe instead of starting there, if you're new to Scripture, you go to the New Testament because it's about Jesus' life and it's more parables and stories? Or there's such thing as a chronological Bible. There's a Bible that actually, you know, all of this doesn't necessarily go in the order that it happened in history, but they've written a Bible that does. Or there's scripture that wants to show the equality of the Old Testament and the New Testament, so you read from the Old Testament and New Testament each day and sometimes find out how those relate. There's Bibles that you have that may be a women's study Bible that you read through different scriptures of the Bible. In the midst of that, there's a devotion that relates to things that women typically struggle with or challenge with or affirmed with in their lives. She's holding one up right there. So go into it with a plan. Look at those different options because it will help you. And I think those are tools that God allows us to have today, and it will help in continuing. Also, how do you read the Bible? My guess is most of us, if we read the Bible, if it's not in a Sunday school class or small group, we're probably just sitting down reading the Bible like we would any other book. Did you know the scripture, when it was originally written, was never intended to be read silently? Scripture was written with the intention of being read out loud because most people that were going to be exposed to the scripture weren't going to see the words, they were going to hear the words. And I don't know if you've ever tried it, but if you actually read the scripture out loud, it's probably going to have a different meaning to you than if you're sitting there just reading it quietly. You can do either. But if you haven't done it, try it sometime. Try reading the scripture out loud and see if it makes a difference to you. This leads to the final thing I want to share. And this comes back to another scripture, going back to James. James chapter 1, verse 22, one verse past the one we just read. James chapter 1, verse 22. And while you're looking for that, I want you to get it. But how many of you have ever tried, you got this new something? We've got a tent at the house. Now, tents, used to be all tents were the same. So if you put up one tent, you put up any tent. That's not this true anymore. How many of you have gotten a tent in the past 3 years? Anybody here bought a tent? Got a tent in the past 3 years? Did you try to put that up without looking at the instructions? What would it... You did? Was it a success? He was a Boy Scout. So, all right. So, he cheated because he went to Boy Scouts. But the point is, it's for most people who weren't Boy Scouts, it's going to be almost impossible. You got all these different poles. You got the different size poles, different length poles. Maybe you can figure it out if you look at the picture, but there's instructions there. And the instructions are there for a purpose to help you figure that out. But then suppose that you get this instruction. You've got this brand new tent, and you're so excited about it, and you get the instructions, and the instruction book tells you everything about it. And so you read it, and you absorb it, and you memorize it. And you go and you tell other people about it, and you underline stuff, and you highlight stuff, and you've got this manual that's just awesome. And you go around it, and you never use the tent. You just take the instruction manual, and you get excited about it, and you share it with everybody. But that's what's so exciting is the manual. Does that make any sense? That's what this next scripture and what all of how all of this comes together in to unify one big point. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We need to hear God's word. And we've talked about today some different ways of doing that. And that's good. And we need to, and hopefully it gave all of us some insight as to how to do that better. But it's useless. God didn't give us this book to worship the book. And some people do that. Worshiping the Bible is God intended that as much as the manufacturer of the tent did for you to put all importance on the instructions and never put the tent up. God didn't give us the Bible so we can worship it. God gave us the Bible so we could understand His message and so we could live more the way God intends us to. So yes, the Bible is a huge gift from God that we need to be able to relate to and understand, but we're missing everything God intended if we don't put it into practice. And we can't put it into practice if we're trying to live on it superficially, or if we are part of the seeds that it just, we see a few of it and then we let it go by and we go our own way and do our own thing. The Bible is foundational in understanding who God wants us to be. But once we understand that, we're required to act on it. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And as they do, I invite you to think about where God is speaking to you today. And today, it just the simple thing is, where are you in terms of the gift of Scripture that God has given to us? Where is Scripture in your life? How often do you use it? And again, it's not about worshiping the Bible, but it's important. It's a way God wants to communicate with us. So do we use that? And if we do, are we open to it? And if we struggle with it, and that's not a thing to be ashamed of. If we struggle with the Bible, there's tools, there's people, there's ways to move in a direction that it can be more meaningful to us. And I encourage you, if you're stuck at that point, I would love to have a conversation about that, but there are other people, I'm sure, in your community that you might feel comfortable talking to about that as well. But the Bible is foundational because it points us to God. If you have any decisions to make today, it may be specifically about understanding Scripture in your life. I'd love to talk or pray with you about that. The altar's open. Maybe there are other decisions. Maybe you want to come and be more a part of this church through membership or getting involved in some other way. Or maybe you're struggling with a call to serve, and maybe it's the West Virginia thing, and you didn't even know Robert was going to say anything about that or it was going to be in our bulletin, but you're saying, "Greg, God did something in my schedule. I don't even know if it's going to allow that to happen, but there's something going on inside of me." Just pray about it. God may open that, or that just may be a button that He's pushing to help you realize there's something other than West Virginia, but there's a place that God wants you to serve.
whatever God's doing in your life right now, please respond to Him. Let's stand together and sing.